to please mute their mic. The results are available on the stock exchange and the company's website. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, co-founder and CFO. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow with a Q&A session. Kindly submit your questions in the chat box after the brief overview by Avinash is over, and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you will find on our website. With that said note, I now turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surbhi. Now, welcome all. Very good afternoon to all of you. So today we are going to talk about the Q3 performance of the company. Next slide, please. We'll be sharing this slide deck right after the meeting. But the results are already available on the NSE website. For those people who are new to the company, who are attending the call for the first or the second time, I'll continue to revisit and give an overview of the company. We've been in business for 20 years. We are CMMI level 3 company, adhering to global standards. Key business segments are product engineering and digital transformation. We have 17 Fortune 500 customers, which are our direct customers. We have state-of-the-art infrastructure in India, in cities like Indore, Pune, Bangalore, and Chennai. We have offices in New York City, in USA, Munich in Germany, and Dubai in Middle East. We have more than 830 professionals worldwide. The past performance of InfoBeans has been where we've been generating CAGR of 22% over the last 4 years on the revenue side, CAGR of 21% on EBITDA, and CAGR of 13% on PAT. So in FY16, our revenue was 74 crores. In FY20, our revenue was at 165 crores. We generate about 90% revenue from the US, about 5% each from Middle East and Germany. Some of the very highly experienced core team that we have in front of us. These are the people who are responsible for the growth of the company, and these are the people who are very senior and trusted lieutenants who we trust to take us further. Each one of them would be, you know, spending on an average 10 years with the company. Very important backbone of the organization. Next, please. This is a quick milestone journey. I will encourage you to read that. The biggest milestone being acquiring a company in the US in 2019, September. And, in last year we crossed 100 crores in revenue. So this was some of the significant milestones. Next, please. Several awards and recognitions that we have received in the past, top being great place to work for multiple years. Been also given as the best exporting company award by the then Chief Minister of MP, Mr. Kamal Nath. Plus several awards on the corporate social responsibility side. We are very conscious organization, and we like to contribute to the city and to the state. We are also named as dream companies to work for in multiple years. Next, please. So the picture that you see on the screen is of the Castellati Park office where I'm sitting right now. We have two floors here and put together about 70,000 square feet to house about 800 team members. We have all kinds of facilities here. Plus, we have offices in Pune, Bangalore, and Chennai as well. Next, please. So we had two offices in philosophy in the US, one in Los Angeles, the other one in Manhattan, New York. Los Angeles office, we have been able to successfully sublet. Therefore, I've removed the pictures from here. I'll talk more about that. But the current office that we have in Manhattan is about 5,000 square feet, which can house about 40 members. By the way, we are attempting to sublease New York office as well, because the philosophy team in the US has decided to work remotely forever, and therefore we are better off getting this office sublet. Okay, so key highlights on the business side is we have added 4 new clients in the last quarter. We have also added about 83 new members. We have a significant open position at this point in time. You know, close to 150 people are required as of today. So we are hiring left, right, and center. Better revenue and profit for this quarter. And one major change that has happened is we have accounted for the Paycheck Protection Grant that US government has given to us in philosophy. I'll detail it out a little later, but yeah, this is a key highlight for the quarter. Next, please. So the esteemed client list out there, you know, some of them we are working with them for over 14, 15 years, ALM being one of them. IQVIA about, you know, almost 10 years now. CoAdvantage, again, a long-term client, and so on. Next, please. So there are no names out here. A lot of them are under NDA, but these are very, very big names we work with. One of the storage company we've been working since 2008. It's almost 13 years in the relationship. Next, please. These are the clients from Philosophy, a very impressive client list. You know, American Express, Amazon, WeWork. They've signed up with more new clients like Warner Media and so on and so on. So pretty impressive list. These are the growth strategies that we continue to follow. I think this is a slide deck. This particular slide in the deck is, I would say, 4 year old. And nothing has changed in terms of the strategies. We continue to work and execute. And each of these strategies have yielded us good results. So we are continuing on that path. Yes. So this is the key highlight of the financials side. On a YOY, our revenue is up almost 2%. EBITDA is up 75%, and PAT is up 85%. On the other side, Q on Q, the numbers are revenue is up 24.5%, EBITDA 125%, and PAT is almost tripled from where we were last quarter. One of the things to note, as I mentioned earlier, is that we've included 6 crores of grant given by US government and treated as other income in the books. So the numbers out there, it is self-explanatory, but I'll still go through that. Other income has 8.5 crores, 6 crores comes from Philosophy grant from the US government. The other 2.5 crores would have about 67 odd lakhs in forex gains because of the hedging positions that we had. And other is on the investments and the interest income from the bonds and liquid funds. We have tried to maintain our expenditure despite an increase in salaries in the first effective from 1st of October. And we also had accounted for ESOP expenses of about 1.1 crores. EBITDA margin is up significantly to 36%. Our usual range is about 24% or so. So this is obviously an extraordinary deviation. PAT is at 14 crores, which is again 27% margin. Usually we stay in around 15% range. So I'm sure, eventually we'll settle to that range. If you look at the 9-month comparison from the revenue side, from 116 crores to 145 crores, from EBITDA 27 to 41, PAT 19.5 to 26.6. So pretty good numbers out there. you know, obviously we should be beating our March 20, the entire fiscal number by end of March 2021. Next, please. So the major change in this balance sheet is on the financial liability side. If you look at non-current liabilities under point A, which is financial liabilities, 39 from 50. So remember last time I talked about the tranche payment to the Philosophy Founders, the company that we acquired. They were supposed to meet their numbers on the revenue and EBITDA side, but they couldn't because of the COVID crisis. And therefore, they lose on their $1.3 million USD tranche. So this is the reduction in liabilities that we have put up here. Apart from that, I think the other big change is on the shareholder funds, which is up by about 36 crores. That is primarily because of 10 crores of the liability, which is parked into reserves now, because the asset value doesn't reduce for Philosophy. And the 26 crores is about the profit that we have accumulated over 9 months. On the fixed asset side, you know, I think there's a restructuring of lease, non-current assets, then there's an increase of about 14 crores in the financial assets, point B, under non-current, and that is primarily because of increase in profits, which is fundamentally powered by investments, you know, more than 1 year instruments, and therefore that is showing up that change. Apart from that, yeah, I think nothing much to talk about on the asset side. Next, please. So some of the notes that I wanted to explain, I think some of them already talked about. Revenue has increased for all the subsidiaries and the parent as compared to previous quarters. So Q on Q, we have shown good growth. In US currency terms, US dollar terms, if I were to look at, the revenue has grown by 27% quarter on quarter, but dropped 0.8% year on year on the US currency terms. Sales is showing very good traction. December quarter is traditionally dull, both in terms of the new sales pipeline versus the current execution as well, because people go on holidays, because there's less working days. But this last quarter has been phenomenal in terms of the action. We've been able to increase our revenue size, as well as we got good orders, including one big $2.2 million order from backed by Philosophy for one of its clients. It is a financial services company. So a very significant jump that we see now in terms of the action on the sales side. We talked about Paycheck Protection Program. So one thing to note here is that we have not applied, we've not got a chance to apply for forgiveness in Infobeans Inc. We have $140K USD additionally in the Infobeans subsidiary as well, which would most likely be done in this quarter. We are waiting for our bank to allow us to apply for forgiveness. In the case of Philosophy, we were able to apply for forgiveness and also the application got accepted. So by the bank. So we took into our books. And cash position, we have about 99 crores in cash and cash equivalents, about 36 crores additionally in account receivables. The DSO has increased to 74 days now. Next, please. So I talked about LA office. We were able to sublease it, and this will result in savings of 415K $415,000 per year, and the remaining term was until September 2025. So we see significant savings moving forward. Tranche 2 payment has been not required to pay, so we save that money. And ESOP expenses I talked about is an additional expense that we did last quarter. On the M&A side, interesting about turn that has happened on multiple threads that we were talking about. Most of the sellers are now thinking that if they want to wait because they can look at a better better value after some quarters or so. Business is going doing very well for them as well. Therefore, they don't want to, they think they would be short selling right now if they sell. So all of a sudden, the entire pipeline is dried up. But we'll continue to make that effort and continue to search on the right targets. Philosophy integration is on its way. We are continuing to cross-sell and upsell between each other's customers. And one of the four customers that we acquired last quarter, one of them was a joint effort. One of them was an upsell into Philosophy's customer. So that is working well. We also have one of our sales director working with Philosophy to streamline their sales efforts. Office is still wide empty. We are pushing now. We are making a lot of active efforts to increase the attendance to 25% in this month. And next month we'll try to reach across 50% plus. And by April, we should be, by end of April, we should be close to 100% capacity running in our offices. The COVID scene is, the fear factor about COVID risk is not there anymore. So we should be back in office. The talent acquisition team is working, hard. And as I said, we have 145 openings that we need as of today. And we are working hard to fill it. Next. That's pretty much it. Thank you. And, I would request you to please put in your questions in the Q&A box. I can help answer one after the other. And we'll be happy to, answer each one of your questions. And we have time till, I think, 5:45. So we have good amount of time available with us. So, if you can open questions for me.
Dear participants, you can submit your queries in the chat box, or you can also unmute the mic and speak out your questions. We are here for the question answer round.
Can you open the question?
So the first question is from Mr. Nitin Sheikh Saria.
Good question, Nitin. So we are obviously looking for the right target. And the moment we have a target, we have a deal, we'll be short of money. So cash is something that gives us firepower to quickly work on a deal and close a deal. The more money we have, the bigger deal we can crack. So if we go back in time, we went IPO in 2017. We had about 37 crores from the market, and we had about 30 odd crores in cash at that point in time. We waited for the right target, and we closed a deal. We announced a deal in September. We closed it in June. I mean, we started due diligence in June, but by the time of doing the deal, we increased our deal size from 5 million to, up to 10 million. So that money is definitely gives us a lot of power and a lot of strength to strike a sizable deal moving forward. So yes, I think that is the biggest value that we can create for ourselves and for the shareholders where we can grow the business faster than the rest of the world.
Mr. Avinash, another question is that I have not seen the dividend given by the paper industry standard by your company.
So we've been giving 1 rupee dividend every year. So what happened was last year...
It's for IT industry standard.
No, that's what I'm saying. IT industry standards, you know, they're not growing as fast as we want to grow. IT industry standards set by Infosys, Wipro, TCS, we are a minuscule size as compared to that company. So it is unfair to compare us with those players. At the same time, you know, they are now attempting to grow faster, and they are acquiring companies and, you know, captives of worth $1 billion. So I'm sure their payout also will reduce in future. But, you know, never, all said and done, when we went out with the mandate in the market, we were very clear and upfront that we want to grow the business rather than, you know, worry about giving out dividends. I'm sure you'll be happy if we grow the business using that money instead of just...
If you are acquiring we are more happy if you acquire the business. But I have not seen till now the philosophy has given any result, because of it. For me, when it is still in loss, if you have not get grant, then maybe it is in loss.
Well, that's fine. It is a very short-term view, Nitin. We can't really expect the company to, you know, do wonders, particularly in the COVID times. And as I see, you know, if we have access to customers like Amex, Amazon, WeWork, or you know, Warner Media, or the new deal that they've signed up, it's a big opportunity for us to cash on. I mean, it will be our failure if we're not able to capture and exploit that. So okay, it is too early to pass a judgment on the acquisition at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next question is, what is your next 20-year vision? Where do you want to be in 2040? Shakti, that's a good question. I think you know, we've been playing around with 5-year vision, 10-year vision in the past, and what we realize is it is foolhardy to think of that long, because the dynamics of the industry changes very, very quickly. So what we are saying to ourselves and what we are targeting for ourselves is, if we can double ourselves every 2 years, you know, we'll end up in a good position in whatever a number of years we continue to do that. So that's the attempt that we're doing. And, you know, with a combination of organic and inorganic growth, this is, you know, our objective, that we should aim to double ourselves every 2 years. Currently, we are doubling ourselves every 3 years. But we want to fast forward that and commit to a velocity of 2 years. So let's see how far we can, how quickly and how far we can do that. Time and again. Saurabh Bardia, digital transformation is doing very good business these days for all IT companies. How is Infobeans capitalizing on this? Being a small company, revenue growth currently looks small. Do you see more growth coming in going forward? I think yes. As I said, you know, we just come out of COVID times and we have bounced back right after, you know, right from September quarter. So, yes, I see a lot of organic growth opportunities out there. I also see inorganic growth opportunities as well. So, yeah, I'm very positive. Also, you know, all the business that we're doing is typically into two segments. One is product engineering, another one is digital transformation. So we are big on digital transformation. As much as 50% revenue comes from digital transformation services that we offer. Plus, we are, you know, investing more in that space. So yes, these are the two broad high growth segments that we see, and we are capitalizing you know, opportunities in that segment. So the next question is from Vinayak. There is no question, Vinayak. You probably have to...
So my questions actually got pushed down
because of other participants. No issues. What is your plan to extend business with upcoming technologies like AI, blockchain, tech? Okay. So Shankar, we're not focusing on AI or blockchain at this point in time. As I said, there are zillions of technologies out there, and there are only few of them which makes headlines in the media. Very honestly, whoever is working in AI or blockchain in India, they are just following what has been created in the US. So, and honestly, there are very limited talent pool available in that space. What we are doing is more so trying to help enterprise clients be more efficient in their space. There are a lot of automation, things that are happening, but I'll still say we are using AI engines in some cases, but this is not prominent. I would not want to call it as a practice, as a mainstream thing that we are doing. We are experimenting on those areas, but as of now, we are not really very focused on any of these technologies to say that we'll be an experts in these technologies in a couple of years. We're just touching upon these tools right now. So we're not focused, honestly, in that space. So by when we can expect to cross revenue run rate of pre-COVID levels of 200 crores annualized, given that $4 million of order gives you great visibility, can you give time some color on this $2.2 million, which is like geography they are from and where is their loan books was like? Okay, so I'm not really too much aware of their loan book size and everything, but this is a company called as I can actually name it, called as Co-op Financials. It is a relatively new client for Philosophy. It's a single $2.2 million contract. They want to use advanced technologies and simplify their loan processing mechanisms with Philosophy. So that's the information that I can share right now. On the growth run rate, I think we are back on track already. So with this growth that we see in December quarter, I think we are back on track. That's what I would say. I'm pretty positive and pretty hopeful of the new businesses coming in from both existing customers and the new customers. So and let me tell you that we have not been able to travel at all and meet any of the customers face to face. This is all happening with the past efforts that we have made and the clients have given us orders online. So things look very positive from here. When you can expect revenue from Nike and Warner Brothers coming in, give that you converted? So they are already our customers. They continue to be our customers. So both of them. It's just that they are giving revenue continuously. The question is whether we can, how soon can we make them $1 million account, is something that we are working on. And since we've not been able to build more stronger relationship because of the unavailability of people to talk to or meet. It is getting delayed, but yeah, I think we are on it. We want to get deeper into these relationships. Your expectation of the full year, any guidance? We have not given any guidance in the past, and I will want to refrain from it. But looking at what we are doing, we should be doing good. More or less the same number or slightly better. So hardly any guidance I can give, but yeah, things look good. That's what I can say. Do you see Infomins hitting 300 crore revenue in the next 2 years? Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, that is the target we have. That is what we want to do. So yes, 300 crore is definitely in the sight. I would rather say, in next, 2 years, 164 was the last number, 165 was the last number. So 330 should be the next number in the next 2 years. Yeah, that's the target. In the post-lockdown era, which segment are you witnessing the most traction, demand, emotion, virtual outlook from each of your individual segments like ServiceNow, cloud migration? So ServiceNow is looking very good. We have got new projects in ServiceNow. We are short of people there. Cloud migration we don't do, so nothing there. Automation, yes. UX, yes. So yes, all the segments, product engineering, automation, digital transformation, or ServiceNow, even Salesforce, they are all looking very good, and a lot of traction, a lot of demand. As I said, 150 people I'm leading today. We've been hiring very rapidly, but still the demand is coming up, left, right, and center. So things look good, but all the segments are working on well. So geographical diversification, Aditya, we are already in three places. We don't need to expand more. As in the first slide, you must have seen, we are just 5%, in Europe and Germany and Middle East. So all we have to do is increase our efforts to, penetrate more into these geographies. So, until we are 20-25% plus, there is no in each of the geographies, there is no reason to go to more geographies for us. Do you have plans to list in NYC? Oh, wow, I would love to. But, at this point in time, we are nobody. The size is too little to go to NYC. But yeah, that's an aspiration, so to speak. Not NYC, but NASDAQ. Next, please.
That's it.
All done. Any more questions? Any other doubts and clarification that you need?
Question is there? Does it make sense?
That's a good question, Saurabh. But we keep debating ourselves as to both Germany and Dubai, should we retain that? Should we really invest more in it? But what we've been finding is both the geographies are promising, and we've been able to secure big clients from there. Fortune 500 customers in both Germany and Middle East geographies, and each of these are our direct customers. So there is no harm in further exploiting those geographies and expanding into those geographies, because any which way, it's not that we are expanding in Europe or Middle East at the cost of expansion in the US. So one of the strengths, I would say, for the company is that we are three founders, and three of us have spread our responsibilities and focus areas in a way where US is taken care by one, Dubai and Germany is being taken care by the another, and inorganic and fundraising and investor relationship is taken by the third founder. So each of the founders are firing on all cylinders, and it's not that two founders in a geography will add more value, right? So essentially, what we found is, we need to diversify, we need to have more geographies in place. At the same time, these are the geographies which are growing well and looks very promising. I mean, Germany, we've got very big names from there, at least. If I recall correctly, there are at least three Fortune 500 customers that we have signed up in Europe. And these are all big names. So the expansion opportunity within these customers is huge. So I would, and let me tell you, we do debate it every year when we do our strategy meetings as to whether, it makes sense to continue in these geographies or not. And every time, we get a positive that, yes, let's continue another year, and we'll review next year. So yes, it is a strategic discussions that we have every year. Any timeline or philosophy to turn into profit? I would tend to think that philosophy is already turning into profit now. This quarter should be that quarter. What should be the steady state EBITDA margin going forward? I think the range that I talked about, 24-25% range on EBITDA margin and 14-15% range on the PAT margin, should be the standard steady state number all along for us. Any progress on the inorganic track? I mentioned this, all the threads that we had are all in that dead as a well. Can we expand our growth track, follow track of Infi or Wipro? Why you want to do that? Shakti, Infi and Wipro are growing in single digits. We don't want to do that, right? Saurabh, the... Yeah, Shakti.
Yeah, actually, I want to mean that when they listed in IPO, that is back in 20 years, not the present rate. Can we follow that similar track? Their market cap was earlier very less, and now they have zoomed past. Similar way we will follow?
I don't know. I would certainly love to. honestly, that's the advantage of the size, right? So we are at a tiny size, and definitely we should be growing faster. That was a different era. This is a different era. But nevertheless, our aspirations are that we should be growing at the same pace. I recall Infosys doubled every 3 years, and whatever their EBITDA margin was in year one, whatever was the revenue on year one became their EBITDA margin on year four. And they did it for almost 10, 12 years at a stretch. So we would certainly love to do that. We would attempt to do that, actually. We don't know how it's going to pan out, right? But this is the aspiration. Saurabh, yes, we would love to. I am coming to office every day. So feel free to come in and let us know. We'll be happy to meet in our office. I actually invite everybody who is on the screen, on the call. If you've not visited Indore office, feel free to come. We'll be happy to entertain you and meet you in person. I do like to meet my investors who have trusted us. So yeah, feel free to come and give us a buzz. You hired consultant for large multi-year contract. How is it helping? No, I don't understand what you're saying. We did hire a consulting firm to help us strategize on the yearly or multi-year growth plan. So they were not there to help us sign multi-year contracts. They were there to help us figure out strategies where we can win multi-year contracts. So we have taken some of those advice and started working. I mean, we actually worked on it for the last 9 months. So we are seeing some positive results, but there is much more work to be done on that front, including going into a particular industry vertical. We are not yet there yet. Is 2.2 million the largest deal won so far by Philosophy? Yes, that's the single largest deal by Philosophy so far. All right, I think we come to an end of the call. There are no new questions.
Since there's no further questions, thank you all of you for joining this call. And in case you have any other queries, you can write to us on our email ID. We'll be happy to answer it. And thank you for joining us this call. And now you may disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much.